I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington on a Football Friday. Presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. I need to get back out there. I have a ticket I need to cash from earlier in the NFL season. So definitely need to get back out there and place some more wagers going forward.
I was just talking to Kareem over there, who runs the entertainment.
Very good.
About a show coming up in December, and he said that he was going to hit me up yesterday with some fantasy questions because he had Dave Richard on.
Yes.
That both his teams are 2-7. Ooh, to me, that ship has probably sailed.
But you know what? I applaud
2-7. I guess you can fight back to maybe get to 6-7.
Here's where I applaud Kareem. He's not punting. If you just punt on your season because you're 2-7.
You're still battling.
You still got to battle. So you still have to put in lineups. Because if you don't put in lineups, it affects the integrity of the entire league.
Well, I know this. In college fantasy, Cakes and I were looking at this. I think it was our last
pregame
show.
You're going
to
go to our guest? Or?
Yeah, we'll go to him in a second. Okay. And in college fantasy, he was facing a team that only started like 3 or 4 guys. I was like, what I want.
He gave up, yeah.
I need to face that
guy.
Well,
that person should be banned from the league next year.
But I need to ask Chris Doran because I have Joe Burrow. I'm heavily vested in LSU.
Well, you can't not start him.
And Jefferson, two receivers, and Burrow against Bama tomorrow. I'm going to play them all.
You're loading up on the Tigers.
All right, Chris Doran does join us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, former Gator receiver, NFL vet, current analyst for ESPN, SEC Network. Do you like playing those guys in a college fantasy league?
I punched him up. I don't know.
CD, well, yeah.
Is that working? Yep. Hey, what's up, buddy?
You got me?
Yeah, man, we got you.
I shouldn't hesitate to play those guys, right? I'm going to play all my LSU guys.
I love those guys, man, all year long. From the moment they hit the field the first game, they've been throwing the ball up and down the field. Joe Burrow's been tremendous. The completion percentage almost at 80%. And all three of those receivers now, with Terrace Marshall being back, complementing what Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson do, it's tough to defend, just like it's tough to defend Alabama's group of receivers. I mean, I think that's the thing that I'm most excited about is watching this passing game for both of these teams and how the defenses choose to match up. Because you guys, you remember back in the day when I was at Florida with Coach Spurrier, we had 5 or 6 guys. I mean, we roll our top 5 out there, and the defense had to, you know, put their 5, and we were always able to find a matchup because nobody's 4th or 5th cover guy was as good as our 4th or 5th receiver. So I think you'll see that being a big key on Saturday.
Chris, talk about what a real paradigm shift this offense is for LSU. Because, I mean, you played at Florida back in the day. You knew what to expect from the LSU team. They're going to play punishing defense, and they're going to run the ball down your throat. And, you know, they're going to have a mediocre to poor passing game. This is a complete 180 from teams, you know, in the past that LSU has trotted out.
Joe Brady, man. Joe Brady.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you think about it, LSU, at least for the last 4 or 5 years, has been preaching the fact in the preseason that they're going to open it up, that they're going to use more tempo, that they're going to go from the shotgun more, and then time and time again, they would revert to that same, you know, that same power pitch run from under center and really very little aggressiveness throwing the football. Despite, I mean, you look in the NFL, some of the most talented NFL receivers played at LSU.
Right.
So those guys went largely underutilized. But, you know, you now have an offense, as you guys mentioned, Joe Brady coming in from New Orleans. He's the passing game coordinator mixed with Steve Ensminger, the offensive coordinator. And Joe Brady, as I mentioned, the trigger man in that offense. I just think it's the perfect confluence of people in the right place at the right time that have now brought this aggressive style. And they're going to put pressure on Alabama. I mean, every team they played against this year, they don't only put pressure on the opposing defense, they put the pressure on the opposing offense, because if you don't match them touchdown for touchdown, you're going to fall behind. This is one of the best teams in the country when it comes to scoring touchdowns in the red zone. So that's going to be another interesting dynamic too. Cantua and that offense score touchdowns with what LSU's able to put on the board.
Well, Chris, as you know, this matchup has been largely one-sided since Saban joined Bama, especially the last 8 years. He's 8-0 in the last 8 years. And LSU combined in those eight games, Chris, has scored 73 points. All right, so 73 points in eight games the last 8 years. Most of those games just weren't close. But like you said, this is a different LSU team. My question is Tua. All right, we know Tua is not going to be 100%. And I saw some clips here on ESPN of him at practice. He looked fine, but, you know, he's only going 50%. Do you have faith that Tua is healthy enough to, you know, if he has to evade the rush, is he healthy enough to get kind of bounce out of the pocket, or is that going to be an issue for them?
Yeah, I think he's healthy enough to go. As you mentioned, you know, I think going through this injury, a similar injury and surgery and recovery last year prior to the college football playoff semifinal, I think that's helped him a little bit in terms of understanding the rehab and what it's going to feel like. It's not his plant foot, so that shouldn't hurt his ability to drop back and put his foot in the ground and throw. But I do think as you know, in the course of a game, as you're under pressure, as you're running around, there are instances where that could bother him a little bit and maybe distract him from his focus. But I think the thing that you look at this Alabama team this year, much like last year's offense, very precise in the passing game. Tua's accuracy, allowing receivers to catch the ball while they're on the run in stride, has allowed them to gain almost 10 yards per catch, or 10 yards after the catch in terms of yak yards. So I do think that's one of the things that I look at. They get the ball out fairly quickly. He's not throwing it down the field quite as much as he was last year. Steve Sarkisian, the new offensive coordinator, has utilized the quick passing game a little bit more. So I do think that he will avoid having to scramble a lot by getting the ball into those receivers' hands and not letting that pass rush get to him.
Here's the other thing that I think about when I, you know, think about this game for tomorrow. You give two weeks for Nick Saban to prepare for a big game. That's like giving Bill Belichick 2 weeks to prepare for a playoff game. All right, I think that matters. I mean, who are you going to take on off a bye week, Saban or Ed Orgeron?
Yeah.
I think that's a big deal. I think it's a big deal, and I'm not saying he's going to show stuff that he hadn't showed before, and there's going to be different looks, but I think anytime you give Nick Saban an extra week off to prepare for LSU, I think that's that bodes well for Crimson Tide. What do you think?
Yeah. Typically, anytime if you're matching coaching wits, I take Nick Saban over about anybody else. I think the one thing that I look at, though, this is a defense that's had to play a lot of young guys, a lot of true freshmen in the front seven. By this point in the season, they're not necessarily true freshmen anymore. The schedule's set up nicely for them where they've gotten a chance to play against some lesser opponents and get acclimated. But I do think, you know, if you look at it throughout the season, they haven't been as consistent rushing the passer. Their run defense hasn't been as good as what we've typically seen from Alabama's defense. So I do think this could be a little bit of a different year just because of the lack of experience and the way injuries hurt the defense early in the season.
If I gave you, let's say, $1,000 to go to the window in Vegas, all right, $1,000. The number right now is 6, and I think the total's dropped a little bit. It opened at 65. But let's just call it 65 for now. Are you playing LSU plus? You lay in the points? You playing over or under?
I'm taking LSU to win. I picked LSU to win back in week 0 on the SEC Network, and I'm only further solidified with what I've seen from that offense this year. I know it's going to be a tough task going to Tuscaloosa where LSU hasn't done really well, but I think they went outright. I'll take the 6 points. I'd love 7. If I could buy it up to 7, that would be even better. But I really believe this is going to be a high-scoring game. I have it 44-38 with both teams in a little bit of a track meet.
Wow. Really? I think Saban might run the ball a little bit.
Yeah, that's the one thing. I'm actually doing a breakdown tonight of how this game could fall. I don't know that we've seen – I think we've only seen in the last 10 years or so one game get into the 60s between these two teams.
Yeah.
And so one of the things we're going to talk about are some of the ways that maybe it does stay below that posted total number. And you're right. I mean, if both teams come out, maybe play a little conservatively, run the football early and kind of feel each other out, not making mistakes, I think that could certainly be one of those things, along with, you know, forcing field goals in the red zone. I mentioned how good LSU's offense is in the red zone scoring touchdowns. If you could force those teams to drive the length of the field instead of, you know, having those explosive plays with, you know, four-play drives like we've seen from both of them, that could also be another way that the under comes in.
Yeah, I looked at it. It's just dropped to 62.5. It opened at 65. It's 62.5 on my site. Do you think Saban wants to get into a shootout?
I don't know that he wants to or not. They don't have the effective running game that they once did. I mean, he's lamented that fact multiple times this year. In fact, saying, you know, I don't want to change what we do offensively with the explosiveness so that we play to our strengths. But at the same time, they have the inability to control ball games. They're not great in short yardage goal line situations as they once were. They're not able to take the ball, the air out of the ball at the end of the game like they once were. Deontay Brown's return to the right guard position has certainly helped the run game, but it's not the, this is not the Alabama, you know, style of play, both offensively or defensively, that we've known in the years past.
All right, so going forward, we're going to ask you about Florida State here in a second, but going forward for next year, Tua and Burrow in the draft, they're both going to be very highly picked, right? They're going to be first-rounders. We've been talking about Dwayne Haskins and kind of critiquing him the last few weeks here in Washington, and some people say, hey, look, if Haskins can't play, we got to look at another quarterback, and there's going to be some good ones coming out. But going forward, do you like Tua and Burrow? Do you like one over the other? Or do you have questions at the next level for these guys?
I think both of them are awesome. I mean, I going into the season, you know, I thought Jake Fromm might be better than Tua. He hasn't necessarily played that well this year. But I think Joe Brady, with his size and his competitive nature and toughness and mind in terms of getting them into the right plays, the accuracy with which he's thrown, I think you're splitting hairs between the two guys, but I would take Joe Burrow probably at this point.
Joe, my Chris Doering, former Gator wide receiver, NFL vet, current analyst for ESPN and SEC Network. Do you like seeing the dysfunction in Tallahassee with things falling apart for Florida State? I actually think college football is better when Florida State is a top program, when Miami's up there in the top 10 or top 15. What do you think about what's going on in Tallahassee right now?
You're exactly right. As much as I hate the Seminoles, college football is better when the state of Florida is the epicenter of the sport. I mean, remember back in the days, it was always, you know, the three of us were always in the top five,
yeah,
and it seemed like big games every week when those three teams played one another. So, yeah, as much as I enjoy seeing the Florida State fans upset, it's not quite as much fun without having Florida State being competitive. I think at this point the joke's over, and let's get back to playing a little bit more the way that we've known that Seminole program,
I mean,
to play.
Like in the early 90s, if Miami and Florida State were getting together when I was in college, that was like can't miss.
Must,
like,
see.
You scheduled your entire weekend around that.
No doubt. That was the best, and we've had some historic games come out of those matchups. So I'd like to see that again. Miami's got to get there. I think Florida's headed in the right direction, but Florida State's certainly in disarray right now.
I mean, people are tired of seeing Bama in it, and I get it. I mean, but they have been the best team. I just say this. If you're tired of seeing these teams, then beat them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the Clemson schedule's a joke, so, you know, they're not going to lose, so they're going to be there again. But did you have an issue with the ranking? Now, you can't get caught up in the first set of rankings. There's still four more or five more or whatever. But do you have a problem with it at all?
Only thing I had, I thought LSU should have been number one given their resume to this point in time, their strength of record. Ohio State, I understand, is a really good team too, but I don't think they've been tested the same way. It seemed to me the committee was using the eye test here awfully early in the season when you have a lot more things to separate these teams based upon who they've played to this point. Is that Alabama's schedule gets more difficult here now.
Right.
Georgia's is more difficult at the end of the season. So I did think that LSU probably deserved to be number one.
Here's my issue this weekend, Chris. My daughter goes to Virginia Tech, and I'm going down there today to spend the weekend with her. They play Wake Forest at 3:30 tomorrow, same exact time as Bama LSU. I don't understand how Bama LSU isn't prime time. I don't get it, but it's not. It's at 3:30, so I'm gonna have to DVR the game. I might catch the second half live because I told my daughter, I said, it's gonna be cold. I'm not sure if I want to see that game.
You're leaving your daughter's
for four quarters. She doesn't either. She usually goes for a half. Where will Chris Doering be watching the game?
I'm in the studio, man. I'm in the studio at noon, and we don't get out of there until about 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. So I'll be watching it right next to Dari Noka and Gene Chizik on set.
Nice. All right, brother.
It'll be fun, man.
Hey, appreciate the time. By the way, he's on his way back from the airport. Did you just land? Where were you, in Orlando this past week?
No, I landed in Charlotte, man. I'm up here. I got shows tonight on the SEC Network and then all day tomorrow and tomorrow night. So
it's a grinder.
Studio right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, man.
You are, man. Hard worker. All right. Appreciate the time, man. We'll
appreciate
talk to you.
Guys.
Yep.
Love
thanks,
you,
buddy.
Yep.
See you, man.
Good stuff.
So he likes, Chris Doering likes LSU money line. He certainly likes the points, and he likes the over.
Well, who doesn't like overs? Overs, is it fun to root for an under? Is it fun for a team not to score?
It's not. I just
never is.
I don't know. I just see this being more of a, not a low scoring game, but 65 points is a lot. Now it's dropped to 62.5. So, you know, obviously the money's coming in on the under, but I don't know. I just see some field goals kicked here. I don't see touchdowns. Bunch of touchdowns in this game. I could be wrong.
Coming up next, Mike Jones is going to join us, covers the NFL for USA Today. We'll talk about some of the big matchups this weekend, including Lurch's Niners, who are hosting Seattle in a huge NFC West battle. Mike Jones next here in the Junkie.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. Joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline to talk some NFL is Mike Jones, NFL reporter for USA Today. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Doing well. How much are you missing that grind of the Redskins beat instead of doing the national bit for USA Today?
Well, the last week I've been doing some more Redskin stuff than what you know I normally would do. I got a story, you know, the Trent Williams stuff is just, you know, ongoing, and then the Haskins stuff is interesting. But, you know, I guess it's nice that I'm not out there every single day, but it never totally ends with them.
Right.
No, there's always just something.
Soul crushing.
You know what's interesting about it, though, Mike, and I don't know if you sense this. I know you still live, you know, basically locally. He's in Delaware. But I know as a longtime, lifelong, essentially, Redskins fan, I honestly think this is bottom. It's so far.
Rock bottom?
It could go, I guess it could go lower. But I've never felt this hopeless as a Redskins fan. Does it feel that way sort of from afar, Mike?
Well, I grew up in the area. Like, everybody I know, like my family, Redskins fans, and buddies growing up, Redskins fans, even out here, Redskins fans. This is the least amount of caring, like the most resigned, just given up, no hope at all. I mean, the only good thing is now Haskins is playing, so I guess that's a little bit of makes people want to watch to see how the future could look. But I seriously,
even
like,
that, yeah.
I'll check in with guys or whatever. Guys normally always ask me, hey, what'd you think about? But I, like, the last, you know, 2 weeks, guys have texted me, dude, I didn't even watch the game.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, you know, hey, what happened in the Redskins game I didn't watch? I mean, that's like the most, I mean, my, you know, just diehard, normal diehard fans who are just like, you know, I can't care anymore.
Hey, we've been talking about Haskins all week. But in your opinion, if I set the over-under at Jameis Winston, okay, that's Jameis Winston's career so far through, how long has he been in the league, 5 years?
Something like that.
I think he's had one really good year and then four so-so years. You know,
his numbers aren't horrible.
They're not horrible.
But he doesn't win.
Doesn't win.
And he turns the ball over too much.
Turns the ball over a million times.
Still got more touchdowns than interceptions.
Yeah. But if I set the bar at Jameis Winston for Dwayne Haskins, would you say he's not going to be as good as Winston for his career, or will he be better than Winston?
Oh, man. You hope that he's going to be better. I haven't seen enough to really know. From what I can gather about his demeanor and everything in his mind and from talking to him, I think he has a chance to be better, but I think it's probably told me, you know, probably like Byron Leftwich kind of, you know, guy. you know, I mean, it's not great. It's not awful. He could be solid. Obviously, the Redskins are hoping he's more than solid. Look, he can do some good things. He's got a big arm. We saw him on Sunday. There were times where he stood in the pocket, pressure's coming, he stepped in the throws, or he changed his arm angle to make sure he gets the ball in there. You know, he didn't turn the ball over. I think he's got more escapability than what people think.
Yeah,
but it's just hard to say. It really is going to be important for whoever this next coach is to really, you know, build an offense that suits his strengths. Jay Gruden wasn't doing that. Jay Gruden doesn't do that with anybody. You know, remember, you know, it's like, you fit into my offense. That's why the RG3 didn't work out. You fit into his offense. So they need to have a coach who's in here who's going to design a game plan, a scheme to do everything that he does well, master the deficiencies. And if that happens, then he has a chance to succeed. I mean, look at Jared Goff. He was awful. Sean McVay knows how to, like, help him out and, you know, put him in position to succeed, and so he's been better. This year when he's been asked to throw more, he's not as good. So, I mean, the fit and the scheme is really, really important. So it's so hard to say what he's going to be because we don't know what they're going to team him with. And so far, for so long, the track record of decision makers and you know, coaches has not been great. So it's really kind of scary. You hope they don't ruin the kid, but you don't know.
Mike, have you heard any rumblings from the Haskins camp or sources close to the camp that basically are saying, at this point, seeing what the Redskins have become, saying, we really wish Dwayne had been drafted by a different franchise other than Washington? Has any of that come out yet, or is it just still too early for any of that to have trickled out?
No, I don't think so, not yet. I haven't heard that. From what I've been able to gather, look, he just started. He got his first start. There's optimism that, okay, look, they feel like he just needs time to grow. He himself is like, okay, he feels like he's learning. He feels like he's getting better. Now that he's involved, you know, some people it's hard to be engaged or totally in when you're not totally involved, when you're standing there taking mental reps. Some people learn better by doing. So I think he's one of those guys. So now that he's going to be in a situation where every rep in practice is for him, every game plan is designed for him, I think he feels like, okay, I've got a chance to really get better and grow and prove myself in this league.
All right, before we move on, just one more question. It's still early, but who are some of the candidates for this head coaching job? I've always just assumed it's got to be a Bruce crony, because if it's not, anybody worth their salt will insist that Bruce not be there, right? So it's got to be somebody from Bruce tentacles, otherwise Bruce is gone. So who does that leave us with?
Yo, I mean, I still think it's really early. I don't know that it's got to be somebody with ties to Bruce. I think that Dan Snyder knows that he's got to make a splash, because I think that he can look at that stadium and see how empty it is, and know that this franchise needs an infusion of life. It's got to be somebody that he's going to have to be willing to give this coach power to make decisions. But the problem is, look, who are you going to get that's really good that's not going to have other options that are better than here? And that's the problem, because, you know, there was talk about Mike Tomlin. You know, I don't think he's going anywhere there, but why the heck would he come to the Redskins when, you know, there's more stable franchises? You know, obviously, you know, at one time somebody said, look, he's probably going to try to get somebody sexy, like Urban Meyer or something like that. But why would Urban Meyer want to come here?
No way.
The only way would be you way overpay someone. So I always feel like money could solve it. So if the going rate is $5-6 million, you got to give a guy 7 or 8. You know what I mean? Or 9 or 10.
Yeah. Yeah. And somebody mentioned Todd Bowles, but I don't know that Todd would, you know, because Todd and Doug are very close. And if you ask Joe Gibbs would probably endorse Todd. But I just don't know why you would want to come here, because nothing, you know, I mean, but everybody, you know, look, there's only 32 jobs. Jay Gruden was told by people close to him not to come here, and he took the job anyway. So there's going to be somebody, but it's not going to be somebody who's got, like, you know, a Lincoln Riley or, you know, a Urban Meyer who could just go anywhere because of their clout.
So you think then that this could be it for Bruce? Because if it's not somebody under his umbrella, that no one worth their salt will work with Bruce.
Well, unless Dan Snyder says, look, Bruce, this guy's going to make all the football decisions. You just keep focusing on the stadium.
this is the only way that I can see it continuing if it was somebody that's outside of Bruce's, you know, circle.
Joined by Mike Jones, NFL reporter, columnist for USA Today. So looking at the matchups this weekend, the one which jumps out at me is the Monday Night Football matchup. Russell Wilson having an unbelievable year, 22 touchdowns, just one pick. Heads to San Francisco to take on a Niners team that's undefeated. How do you see that game playing out?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. I'm going to be at that game. It's going to be really interesting because that defense of the 49ers is really legit. And it looks like, you know, Russell Wilson's playing at an amazing level, but it could be a real challenge for them. You know, both teams like to establish the run, build it off of that. Jimmy Garoppolo looks like he's finally starting to heat up. We'll see if he can do it, you know, against a better defense. It's a really, really important game. Obviously, it's important for the 49ers, but it's a really important game for the Seahawks because, you know, they're trying to do something here, and they've got to catch up to the 49ers. 49ers being at home, I think that the 49ers are going to get this thing here, but I think it's going to be kind of a really close, hard-fought game.
How good are the Bosa brothers?
I mean, sick. They're really good.
Some good genetics.
And I tell you, the kid in San Francisco, I mean, he's not just a candidate for Defensive Rookie of the Year, but the way he's playing, just like all-out defensive MVP, I mean, he's great against the run. He gets after the quarterback. You know, he's just so well-rounded. And a big reason why the 49ers have had so much success on defense.
And the Niners offensively had injuries to both tackles. All right, mm-hmm. So he had to use backup tackles, and they're still running the ball great. They just lost Quan Alexander, their linebacker. I think he's out for the year. You would know better than me, Mike. But so they've got some serious injuries, but they're still able to, and like you said, the defense has been great with Bosa and Dee Ford and those guys, but they're still able to run the ball. That's what's been so surprising with those injuries on the line.
Yeah, exactly. And look, they really, when John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan took this thing over, they knew that they had to really build this thing the right way, and building depth was one of those things that Kyle said when I was out there at training camp. He talked about that, you know, yes, you want to build it at the top, but you have to build it strong, you know, at the bottom too. So that way, if there are injuries, and you've seen that's happened and they've been able to absorb them. And, you know, there's going to be challenges that'll, you know, continue to pop up. But if you have good depth, you're able to overcome them. And yes, on offense, you know, Mike Shanahan's offense, which Kyle Shanahan learned from, they believe in running the football, having balance. You know, yeah, it's a passing league, but if you have balance and all of your run plays and your pass plays look the same, you play off the play action, it just opens up so much, gives you so many options, and that's a big reason why they've been able to have so much success.
Another game on Sunday night, Minnesota in Dallas, and doesn't look like Thielen's going to go again for the Vikings, and he wasn't there. He played for about 8 seconds in that game last week against Kansas City. They took out Diggs, and you know, even though Cousins had a decent game, that last drive they go three and out, and they lose the game on that walk off. But with Thielen out, they're just a different offense because you can key on Diggs and you can key on Cook. And this is obviously a big game for both teams. Dallas trying to fight off Philly, and Minnesota still trying to chase Green Bay down. So, what do you think about this?
Yeah, you know, I was so back and forth on that one there. For some reason, I just can't believe in the Cowboys. They've been so inconsistent, you know, and none of their success has come against good teams. Only other thing, though, is that none of Kirk Cousins' success comes against winning teams either. So it's so hard to figure out. But because of the Thielen injury, not having him, I think if they had them, I think the Vikings would be able to pull this thing out. It looks like he's not going to be there, like you're saying. And so I think that the Cowboys will have just a little bit more. Obviously, the Vikings have a very good defense. But with the Cowboys having their full complement of offensive weapons, they probably have a little bit of an edge.
Oh, I wanted to ask you about Antonio Brown. If you had to bet,
he's all
will
over the
Antonio
place.
Brown be in the league next year?
God, he's in wacko.
No. I mean, you know.
I think it's over.
I mean, I just don't know who's going to subject themselves to that. I mean, you need to put the best foot forward and say and do all the right things. I mean, anybody with like half of a brain is able to fake their way through a job interview or, you know, or say what you got to say just to get in the door. This guy can't even like hold it together for a meeting that he really desperately needed to come off well to get himself another chance. So I don't see it happening, man.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to ask you, I'm not sure if you've talked to anybody about the draft next year, but there's going to be so many teams that need quarterbacks. Cincinnati, obviously the Dolphins, you know, maybe who knows?
I mean, although Cincinnati might like Finley. He's getting his first start now.
maybe. But I was watching the Raiders Chargers game last night. Man, the Chargers got to move on from Rivers. I'm sorry. He's 100 years old. He looked it last night. So there's going to be a bunch of, you know, Tennessee. There's going to be a bunch of teams that are going to need quarterbacks. And you've got what we think are three pretty good ones, at least, with Tua, Burrow, and Justin Herbert. From what you're hearing around the league, are GMs high on one or a couple of those guys over the others?
I have not done a whole lot of draft talk with anybody yet. It's so, you know, hard to do both. Obviously, you have those three. Like, everybody knows that they're the three, but I don't know who they think is the best.
Right.
But, yeah, there are going to be a lot of quarterbacks. But also, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Cam Newton and the Panthers, because somebody's going to miss out on one of those good quarterbacks, those young quarterbacks there, and you have a veteran guy who, you know, has played at MVP level. So it's just going to be really intriguing because, yes, there you have those top three quarterbacks there, but, you know, more teams are going to need quarterbacks, and, you know, we'll see how it plays out.
Do you think Freddie Kitchens will get fired before the end of the year?
I don't think he'll get fired before the end of the year. I will not be surprised at all if he is fired. I think he's going to be one and done. Adam Gase probably should be one and done. It's going to be interesting if Shurmur gets fired there with the Giants. Kitchens, I almost think that, I mean, look, John Dorsey, that was his call right there. And maybe he'll try to go in there and have him retool his coaching staff to give him one more chance. I think that, you know, getting rid of Zampezi was a really bad thing. Also, their offensive line coach, they were so instrumental in that offensive success. So maybe he says, look, we got to, you know, get you some more help. I want to see you succeed, you know, and maybe that buys him a little bit. But he really has got to get things turned around, because right now he just looks like he's way in over his head.
All right, Mike. Good stuff as always. It's Mike Jones. You can check out his work at USA Today. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. Mike, of course, joining us on a Football Friday presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino, Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington on a Football Friday presented by the Sportsbook of Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. We'll get back to football momentarily with the Junkies Blitz. We can go around the NFL with some of the top matchups. I'm going to toss you a softball, Jason. I don't know if this ever happens. I just have seen it on the crawl a few times. I have no idea when they play it, but the President's Cup is coming up.
Oh,
it's not the Ryder's Cup, the President's Cup. And Tiger Woods named himself as part of the team. Is that a normal thing?
Well, it's not normal because it's rare that you have a captain that's still an active player. But yes, he did name himself to the President's Cup. Can you blame him? He just won.
I guess not.
I think the President's Cup is it in December or January?
I think it's next month.
Yeah, so they're playing in Australia.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, not funny, but I mean, it's probably expected, but Phil Mickelson was not named or didn't make the top eight.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way Tiger's going to pick him because there's some other guys like Ricky Fowler and other
Kisner. Gary Woodland.
But Phil Mickelson has played in every team event for America since 1994, President's Cup and Ryder Cup.
Oh, so you bored him.
Well, no, not really. It also coincides with the time where it's the first time, I think it's 30 years or whatever, that he's fallen out of the top 50 worldwide.
Yeah, he's just not good enough.
Which he just, you know, age catching up to him.
Yeah, he'd be like 49 years old.
I mean, I guess maybe they expected Tiger when they named him the captain to be a number. Don't they usually name like the X guys?
It's not often that you have playing captains, but it's not totally out of the realm.
Yeah, I mean,
it's definitely happened before.
Like I said, I was tossing you a softball.
Just give me a reminder when it's close to golf pool season. That's like
up.
January, right?
Yeah, first week of January.
Because I need to huddle with my guy Kenny Kim. We have to have a strategy session for heading into the 2020 campaign.
Well, first of all, let me just say this: no one cares about the President's Cup.
And the Americans always dominate.
Clearly agree with that.
Yeah, they always dominate.
I think what have we lost one?
I don't know. But I'll say this.
We haven't lost many, if any.
Regarding Tiger, I mean, he's not the same Tiger as he used to be, but he has won 3 of his last 14 events. I mean, that's basically on pace with his career average of winning 22%.
Because he won the Masters, he won the Tour Championship, and then he won Zozo.
When he's healthy and he's got a little mojo to him, he's still pretty darn deadly. Davis Love just went on record. I believe Davis Love, has he been officially hired by CBS?
Yes.
To replace McCord and some of these guys?
Yep.
Davis Love's gone on record. He agrees with old EB and said Tiger will get back to number one in the world. I believe he's currently number 6.
Yeah.
So he's right there.
That's not that big of a
He's got to play. The problem is he's got to play a few more events. He just doesn't play enough. He may only play 13, 14 events.
Yeah. Well, and then he's got to keep winning.
And he's got to keep winning. Yeah. But if he's healthy, he's proven he can still win.
Well, that's the big question. Can he stay healthy?
Yeah. Well, maybe this knee surgery.
He always tweaks something.
Maybe this knee surgery was a big deal. I know he said, and again, we're getting into the golf world. No one cares.
I do.
He said that it was important for him to get this knee surgery beyond anything else because now he can get low and read the greens.
Right.
He wasn't able to actually. It was making a difference in some of his reads because he couldn't. You know, when you can't get down there, so you're missing some of the nuance. So
will you watch the Prez Cup?
Anything Tiger's in that's on television,
he's going to be in it.
I'll watch. Plus, I pay for that NBC Sports. You know, do you guys have a million things that you pay for a month and you can't even keep track of?
Yes.
I pay $8 a month to Flickr.
I try and monitor.
I don't even know what Flickr. What is
Flickr? It's a photo sharing site that I don't even like.
Well, why don't you cancel that?
Because they got my photos there and they're going to delete them as soon as I can. So I got to download the photos and then cancel it. So it's cheaper for $8 a month to not deal with it.
Okay.
But I mean, don't you have a million things that you're now playing?
Sure.
Spotify, everything.
Netflix. Spotify is $10 a month. It might be more expensive than that.
Might be 15.
That's if you do premium. I'm a squeaker.
You take the ads, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
then you're doing the free one.
Zero.
Yeah. Well, I only do it for my daughters.
And I'm a number. I still use Pandora.
Netflix, Spotify.
I know.
My Flickr. I bought the PLL lacrosse package. I got the golf.
You get everything. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The thing that tilts me is that DirecTV, and I love DirecTV, but I guarantee you I'm only watching 10% of the channels that are offered. I don't know. I'm guessing.
That's why everyone's cutting the cord.
Yeah, tell them. Tell them I'm watching 10%.
It's like $275 a month or something like that.
That's why
brutal.
A lot of people are cutting the cord. That's why you should just cut. Well.
No. I don't.
We're supporters of the non-cord cutting companies.
Yeah.
That's true. I'll never cut the cord. I got them all. So.
You've got so many cords.
No, when I get fired, I'll cut the cord. Yeah, of course.
All right, let's go around the NFL real quick with the Junkies Blitz, brought to you by the Purple Heart Foundation, honoring their sacrifice to their service. Help our military veterans. Visit DonatePurpleHeart.org. Thursday Night Football, Raiders improved to 5-4, beat the Chargers 26-24. Jason's been talking about all morning.
Rivers stinks.
Phillip Rivers awful. He did have 2 touchdown passes, but 3 picks.
3 picks, should have been 5.
Including a pick 6.
Yeah, he was terrible.
Raiders defense had 5 sacks, 3 interceptions in the game. Enough for them to get that win. Josh Jacobs finds the end zone again. Not huge numbers for the rookie running back, but
the bright
looks
spot
to be
for
the offensive rookie of the year.
The bright spot for the Chargers, fantasy related anyways, Melvin Gordon got over 100 yards and a touchdown.
He's bouncing back ever since.
So it looks like he's going to be the guy the rest of the way if you have him on your roster.
5 matchups to pay attention to this weekend. Start with the 1 o'clocks. Lions Bears. Both teams sub 500, but the team that loses this is pretty much out of it.
Yeah, it's an elimination game.
Bears have lost 4 in a row after a 3-1 start. They were 12-4 a year ago. Mitch Trubisky's the story there.
Well,
5 touchdown passes this year. He had 24 a year ago. He's got
poop.
5.
He's poop.
So like you said, that's probably an elimination game. I'm throwing in the Bills-Browns game. Just we were talking a lot about Freddie Kitchens, the Browns. They've lost 4 straight as well.
Haven't won at home either.
Winless at home. Kareem Hunt returns after serving his 8-game suspension.
Mm-hmm.
Here's their deal. They stink inside the red zone. So last week against Denver, they were in the red zone 5 times, managed just 1 touchdown. On the year, they're at 46.2% in the red zone.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Buffalo, first in the NFL at 71.4%. Maybe that's why they're 6-2 and the Cleveland Browns are 2-6.
Well, it helps that their quarterback can run a little bit. And they can design plays in the red zone where he can get out there. How many touchdowns does Beckham have? Does he even have one?
He's got at least one.
He has at least one.
He broke a long one. I think it was on Monday Night Football.
He's
like
got one touchdown.
Season.
No, I think he's got multiple.
Well, he's got one receiving.
He has one in the red zone this season.
Okay, so maybe he's got a rushing touchdown. No, he doesn't. He's got one touchdown, people. He's got zero rushing, and he's got one receiving.
In the red zone this year, he's been targeted just 7 times.
Okay,
targeted.
Well, I'm just telling you. Okay. Beckham and Landry combined have 2 touchdowns. That's how bad their offense is.
Well, Freddie Kitchens is in way over his head. He's got a borderline brilliant play caller on his staff named Todd Monken who came over from Tampa, and he's not calling the plays. I don't know what's happening on that sideline, but whatever it is, it isn't good. They're 2-6, and they are circling the bowl at this point.
I watched some of the game last week via Red Zone. They were just botching every short yardage play. Chubb's good, but on short yardage, 3rd and 1, they lost. Then Baker tried to do a quarterback sneak, failed.
They suck.
You know what? If you have somebody that's better at your job than you, and you're the head coach, you should turn over that duty.
But did Kitchens call the plays last year?
He may have after
and
Jackson was
last
whacked.
Year.
Yeah.
That's
Greg
fine. But you know what? Monken's a better play caller than Freddie Kitchens. It's been borne out in Tampa.
Well, Kitchens won't be there.
No, he's not going to be there long. So, you know what? Don't worry about him.
All right, 4:25. You have the Panthers at 5-3 heading to Green Bay to take on a Packers team that struggled last week, only put up 11 points against the Chargers. Devontae Adams back for his 2nd game there. Of course, on the Carolina side, the story is Christian McCaffrey, 1,244 yards from scrimmage. That's number 1 in the NFL. 13 touchdowns as well.
Also, the story is he's getting way overused, and now he's questionable on the injury report with a knee issue. Now, I'm sure he'll play. He'll probably battle through it. But when you take on the volume that he's taking on, he basically never comes off the field. I mean, at some point, you're going to get nicked up.
So at the record to show that I was pro-Christian McCaffrey going into the draft, if you go listen to the tape.
Was anybody anti?
Just go to the tape. People, there were some questions because of his size. Again, I was pro-Russell Wilson.
I was anti-Russell Wilson.
I was pro-Christian McCaffrey.
I think I was medium Christian McCaffrey. I probably doubted him because he's a whitey.
Oh, he was the guy. Yeah.
I'll be honest, I just did.
I was pro-Johnny Manziel, too.
Right.
So I'll take that one.
I was only pro-Johnny Manziel because I had to pick for the Browns in the mock draft. Yeah. That was the only reason I was pro-Johnny Manziel.
We talked about these games with Mike Jones. Probably your best matchup, Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football. Sunday night, you got the Vikings at the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
And then Monday night, Seattle at the 49ers.
Yep. big matchups. Vikings chasing the Pack, and of course Dallas trying to hold off Philadelphia.
I mean,
Thielen probably not going to go again.
Yeah, I mean, the hamstring's tough to come back from, especially for wide receivers. Are the Niners going to win every single game?
No.
You know what? This is the week they get tripped up. Seahawks.
At home?
Seahawks go in there on the road, beat them. The Drab Hawks come out with a win.
Hmm. All right, coming up next, best-selling
author. Might have to
make
a little wager there.
Washington Post columnist John Feinstein joins us on The Jungle.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.